Hello and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we trade facts like they're dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate each fact, but do you know what? It doesn't matter how hot each fact is because we are all hot, as is our guest, as always. My name's Lindsay, and I've just been back in the UK for 3 weeks to visit my family. And while I was there, I think I cursed my parents' cars because my dad's broke down twice and my mom's broke down once on a motorway.
Oh, no. My name is Rachel. My girlfriend has a car, brag.
on multiple accounts.
Yeah. And for a while, we were driving around with a screwdriver wedged in one of the doors because her window kept falling down. And that's how her dad fixed it for us. It's beautiful.
I love a DIY fix.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm Chloe. Still, I would say like top three because I don't think I can name a favorite, but like top three favorite scariest moments in my life is when I was in my car. And the gas pedal got stuck. And I was like, oh, I'm not prepared for this. And this is right after I graduated high school. So I was like 18. I already barely know how to drive. And then I was getting accelerating onto the highway. And then I just couldn't decelerate. The gas pedal just got stuck and it became a floppy gas pedal. And then I blacked out and I was all safe on the side of the road.
You blacked out?
Yeah. I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm gonna die. I don't know what to do. And she was like, what are you talking about? What? And I was like, you don't understand. I can't do da 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 da. And she was like, put your car in neutral, Chloe. Put your car in neutral. And then after that, like I can't, like,
you put your body in neutral and then just
let it go. And that's what I did. So if anything, if you're in trouble, black out, you'll be fine.
Oh my God.
Great advice. Hi, my name is Shem. My mother's car, when we were in Jamaica, was so shitty that the key wouldn't work. So she'd literally pull out the dashboard, hot wire it every single time to get it started, which is how I learned that my mother just knows how to hot wire a car. Just has that knowledge. It's like, oh, I thought this is a movie. It's like, nope. Just and like people couldn't try to steal her car, but couldn't because they couldn't like work out how to like move or like work the ignition. You had to know the special electronic magic.
Great security system. Mm.
My name's Steven. I have not owned a car for about 8 years. And the thing that was finally the straw that broke a camel's back was I racked up $700 in parking tickets. The last ticket that I got, I went out of town for a weekend. They put a do not park sign where my car was fucking parked. And then I came back and I had racked up 2 days worth of tickets on a new sign. And that's when I figured the universe was telling me that you don't deserve a car anymore.
I think that was so sneaky.
It's
worse than sneaky.
Oh man, don't even scratch on that scab. You scratch on that scab because I have the same opinion.
Yeah. And on that note, we'll breathe and formally introduce Stephen Campbell to the podcast. He's a comedian, fundraiser, and one of the co-hosts of the Nonprofits podcast. Stephen, welcome to Hot Goss.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are pumped to have you here today. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I as you know, a little behind the curtain situation, the snooze button, they put it very close to the turn off button. I pressed the latter. And so that's why I'm here with puffy ass eyes and just, you know, I'm doing my best.
We're all just doing our best.
Creaking into the new year. I mean, I think we all want to keep it in that never wake up button. Amazing. Well, we're delighted you're here today. And Rachel, let's get going with the first fact.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry that I'm starting us off on this note, but okay. I will disclaimer. I did see this originally on TikTok. Sorry. But I did do some research outside of TikTok. But basically there is a planet called HD 189733b, cute little name. That from far away looks very similar to Earth. I think it's 63 light years away from us, which they write like only 63 light years away. I don't know what that means, relatively, but although it looks like Earth, on Earth, they have what they call the Rains of Terror. Because of its proximity to its sun, it rains molten shards of glass. So it's raining glass when it rains, and the winds on the planet are about 5,400 miles per hour or 2 kilometers per second at it's seven times the speed of sound, which means when it's raining, the shards of glass are coming at you sideways. Yeah, but it looks, because it looks like Earth, it's like this marbly blue color, and it's not the reflection of an ocean, but it's basically like a blowtorched atmosphere that has like clouds that are laced with silicate particles. So it creates this like Earth-like looking planet, but it's really like truly a nightmare.
Is it us in the future?
Oh no.
I'm so sorry.
Oh no.
So it's like somebody's blowing glass into a whole ass planet.
Exactly what it is.
Oh, that's crazy. And then if it was knocked off of orbit, it would just turn into a bong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love it.
Hey, Iffy.
Hey, it was good.
Hey, I realize what I've done is given you the time in New York time rather than LA time. And I tried like an idiot.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I was up. I was ready because you did put EST.
I know. I saw and I was like, oh my God, what did they do?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay, now I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, okay. Yeah, y'all didn't have to. You could have just said, you know, I actually meant PST. I would have went back to sleep. but y'all woke up for me. Thanks. Jesus.
I'm bad at this. Are you free later on? Or
yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, it works.
That
yeah,
would be if you, magic.
Okay, got it. All right, cool. Then I'll see y'all at the right time.
Well, nice to meet you, Iffy.
Yeah, yeah. Nice to meet you too. I'll see you. Yeah, yeah. All right. Bye.
So it's a little sneak peek of later on. We have, if you know, by the way, very busy man, writes for TV. I've ruined all my chances of coasting off that connection. So
I'm dead. Going back to the Reign of Terror on a different planet. Not
if I could
one.
Move there, that would feel great.
They just have really strong umbrellas for the glass. It's totally fine.
I'm dead. No, it did feel like okay. The creation of planets, space wise, science wise, this feels like a big whoopsies in terms of how it was created and what actually ended up being there. I was like, wow, that truly feels like a nightmare.
But that's how the glass planet people feel about us.
Yeah, that's true. They would have to be like a gaseous people, like a people made of gas, right? That's the only way that you could have life on that planet, because they'd have to be cool with glass just penetrating them all the time.
Yeah.
You would have to evolve accordingly.
Fish people.
Well, that's assuming they can go in the water, and the water's not made of glass also.
Yeah.
Is there water?
I think that was the whole premise of the whole thing, right?
Is the
most Earth-like planet.
Well, I guess, yeah. Okay. Good point. Full transparency, Rachel, I'll be honest. I did see this TikTok, but I didn't do the research you did. So thanks for the facts. We're on the same side of TikTok, yeah, the gay and the science-ish.
Hey, science, we love. So yeah, how hot do you feel like that fact is, Chloe? I'm going to put you
probably on. As hot as what I think it's true, what the gaseous people, how hot their insides are. Because I think they've got to be, they're moving fast. They're getting they're missing the glass. But like, I feel like all that speed, you got to be like combusting a little bit.
100%. They're also very close to their son. So I think it's like something like, it's not in this article I'm on, but it's something like 1400 or 1700 degrees Fahrenheit. So also everything's boiling. I forgot to mention, I'm so sorry.
Thank you, because I was considering going there, and but now I'm not a heat person.
No, no, no. You're like glass. Yes.
No problem. I'm very gaseous.
I'm gaseous in winter is my season. This is
right. As long as I don't have to wake up early.
No.
Rachel, that fact was as hot as every Michael Bay movie. We're just like featured like skyscrapers, glass smashing, shattering everywhere, and explosions. It feels like maybe that explains where he's from. Michael Bay is a movie director. He directed all the Transformers movies, Bad Boys, Pearl Harbor.
If there's an explosion, Michael Bay did that shit.
Thank you so much.
Rachel, that fact is as hot as when they pull the glass out of the like oven thing for glass bone. I think it's like a glory hole, right? They pull it out.
It is called a glory hole.
Also called a glory hole?
Yes.
Well, that's more than one glory hole.
There is.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if somebody mixed up the glory holes and they put it in the molten glass?
That would be painful.
That would suck. I would say that fact is as hot as mistaking a glory hole.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, boiling dick hot. That's
mwah. I'm gonna call my mom after this. I'm gonna be like, Mom.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it would suck, and then it sucked.
May 2022 be boiling dick hot.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Chloe, coming to you.
Okay. Are we actually, this is probably more of a Shem and Lins. Are y'all familiar with the show Jackass?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thumbs up. Jackass knows no borders.
Johnny Knoxville, I don't know how long ago he shared this, so I apologize if this is, you know, broadly known already. But Johnny Knoxville shared that at one point pre-MTV show, so as they were kind of like, whatever, pitching, selling to MTV, Lorne Michaels offered him a weekly 3 to 5 minute segment on SNL to do pranks or stunts. And he said no, because he thought MTV, throughout they were going, would give him more creative control and let him keep going with his friends, like collaborating with them. But we could have had an SNL with Johnny Knoxville every week.
I also love the idea that creative control, in quotations, is what hitting yourself in the face with a 2x4 is called.
Yeah.
I have only seen Jackass once in my life, and I think I saw two of them back to back, and it was with the family I used to nanny for. The kids were asleep and the parents were like, "You've never seen Jackass, let's watch this." So it was the two parents, one of whom was my previous high school teacher, her husband, and then the uncle, so like her brother, us watching, you know, the like strong man, like ding, shoot a dildo into someone's butt sitting at the top of that. And I was like, how do I remove myself from this situation? Because it was so awkward. Also, like, they were doing this thing where they were shaving people's pubes and the kids walked down and everyone was like, pause the TV.
And that could have been on SNL.
Could have been.
I think I was in sixth grade when Jackass was like really booming, and there are VHS videotapes of little me somewhere saying, "I'm Stephen Campbell and this is Jackass," and jumping off of a roof. and lots of similar creative control type situation.
Yeah. My friend Randy and I think around the same age, maybe like like elementary schoolish, middle, like me and my friend Randy, at one point I remember we were playing Jackass in the backyard, but that just meant we were diving and trying to roll, but like hurting ourselves every time. But the creative control we had, every lead we took.
That's why we are the way we are now.
I guess, Stephen, this is really for you. My father's famously dead, but when he was alive, he loved Jackass. And I'm just like,
and
Dad.
That's how he died. That's how he died.
Hey, too much creative control.
God said,
my name is Chloe's dad, and this is Jack.
Yeah, hey, right.
You know, sometimes boundaries are good. Less creative control.
I'm sad that we've been robbed of a generation of yearly New York comedians auditioning by hitting themselves in the face.
Yeah. Steve-O's still touring with that shit. He's sober and you'll look at like the rotation of like one of the, you know, like A-list comedy clubs, like improvs and stuff like that, where it'll be a bunch of comics you recognize. And then Steve-O, and all he's doing is like jumping off of shit onto tables and stuff like that. There's like, he's like stapling his balls to the table, like on stage and stuff. He's doing Jackass stuff, but now he's sober and old. So it's like even sadder.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a man stapling his balls to the table, and now some puns.
Yeah, right. And now some observational humor. Like, do you guys ever staple your balls to the table? And you're like, what am I doing here? Just Jerry Seinfeld juxtaposed in them.
Oh my gosh. Chloe, that fact is, oh baby. Okay, it's as hot as a little New York venue we all hate, the Triple Crown basement. It's as hot as that basement on a muggy summer's day. It's a bunch of Jackass inspired comedians coming to perform for the very first time, a 5-minute set of them hitting themselves after the famous SNL Jackass had inspired them.
That shit is hot.
That's hot.
That's hot.
That's hot and sad.
That is as hot as this. There's this one segment on Jackass where they were taking lit up fluorescent light bulbs and hitting each other with them, and it is equally as hot as that. I guess another hot glass segment.
Yes. Yes.
They are on their way to that planet right now.
True.
That's the next Jackass.
Yeah, you know? It's them in like a spaceship, and it's just like, this is Jackass and we are entering into, but then they're just hit with shards of molten dying glass.
Hot.
That fact was as hot as I went to the UK premiere of Jackass, because I was a journalist at the time, and all the cast and crew were there doing like a Q&A afterwards with like a journalist screening. And then they told the story of how it was when they made the first movie, they'd just been recording it to themselves for MTV for the bunch. They got to work with like a real camera crew. And then the person who does all the filming for Jackass was like, yeah. And then this camera guy showed me the auto zoom and you could move in and focus on different people's faces. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And he was this 50-year-old guy. He looked at me like, all my life I'd wanted to make a movie. And you guys made to make one. So the heat of that painful sadness is how that fact was.
That's...
Oh, I can't go on after this, but I will.
Have you?
Chloe.
I was just gonna say, and that, and you were just like, let me zoom in on these balls, baby.
Chloe, that fact is as hot as my genuine excitement. I've seen the trailer for the movie, but all I want to see is the person coming out of a cannon. I'm truly excited for that. Only because I went to an apple farm last year and I walked out to like find a seat and they were like counting down for this cannon, and I thought they were gonna fire a person out of a cannon at this apple farm, but they just fired this giant bull out of it and it was a real letdown. So I'm
not an apple. I thought it was gonna be an apple.
No. Even an apple was very strange. So I'm excited for the cannon.
You're referring to Jackass Forever, a movie they postponed because it wasn't safe.
Yes. On that note, here's a few safe words from our friends.
Sponsors, not like safe words.
No, corporations are people,
you know,
dog.
What? I'm fine if they want to share some safe words, because some corporations aren't always safe.
When my husband and I get a little kinky, our safe word is
Spotify.
Bob.
No. Our safe word is new Cheez-Its, extra toasted. Thank you.
I just watch Jackass and I don't have a safe word. And on that note, Stephen, we'd love to hear your fact.
Sure. So I used to work in automotive crash research consulting. So I was like in at all of the crash labs around the world, like in, you know, like in Sweden and Germany and all that stuff. And one of the top labs in the world is in Virginia. And I can't tell you where exactly because they do cadaver testing, right? Which is you put dead bodies into cars and you just crash them into walls. And so when you on your license say that you will be a donor, like an organ donor, one of the possibilities that your body will be used for is being crashed into a brick wall.
Oh,
And so that is a fact that I've thought of right now. But yeah, so there is an opportunity for you, you and your dead body to be used to rate cars on a 1 to 5 star scale on the IHHS insurance rating. So when you're like, how did they come up with that rating, Volvo? It's like, because they crashed your grandma into a fucking car, into a wall.
Can you specify the car?
It can be any car. Yeah, no, well, it's the IHHS, right? So,
I would like
highway
to be crashed.
Safety, something, blah, blah, blah. But there was one day that I showed up and like I was supposed to be demonstrating like a product. And I show up and they're like, Steven, we don't have time for it today. I was like, yo, we've been setting up this meeting for like months. And he's like, yeah, well, the shipment of bodies, they all got hepatitis. So we've just been crashing hepatitis bodies into walls. And now there's hepatitis everywhere. And so we can't have anybody in the fucking place. And so
I'm dead.
So this is, I don't know which part of this is the fact, but so.
No, this is all the fact.
This is all fact, right? And so what happened was there was a big, we were importing bodies from India, but then the government came in and they're like, yo, dead bodies coming in from India aren't representative of how fat we are as Americans. Mm-hmm. So we can't keep using these bodies from India. So they had to go to some like secondary dealer of dead bodies. And that guy was like black market dead body selling. And so he was selling the reject bodies. And those were the hepatitis bodies. And they didn't know. And they bought like a big shipment of hepatitis bodies. And so then there was just hepatitis everywhere. And so fact number one, if you're an organ donor, you could be crashed into a wall. Fact number two, we stopped importing bodies from India because they were too petite.
Wow. Say they like just started using three of them. They're like, this, yeah, right. This is just a workaround.
It's like rope them together.
Belt it in.
Yep. Wow. Oh my Lanta. This is wildly related to things happening in my life because my girlfriend just got the paper to sign up to be an organ donor. And I was like, oh, do you get to specify like which organs you donate? Like,
no,
take my heart, but keep my eyes. Right. Something like that. But now I'm like, write a little note on that form that says, don't crash me into a wall.
Yeah. Wait, did they have it on the form? Cause I've never, I don't know. Time I ever like looked at it was like when I was like 16, but like, do they have anything to specify what you can do in that donor thing?
I don't know. She didn't open it. She hadn't opened it yet. And I was making all these jokes and then she kind of just walked away. She's like,
these are some of the real possibilities. Wow. I mean, your eyes could be used to give somebody the gift of sight, or you could give somebody a 1 star rating on a car that they have to go back to the drawing board because your body showed them that your car is, like, for instance, like a Mini Cooper, just fucking don't drive it. If you get in a car accident and it is not, it has to be exactly on the head, 0 degrees, or else the whole car will just like fucking erupt.
Wow.
Scary. I'm so, you know, I never wanted a Mini Cooper, so I feel good in that. I feel safe.
That's our fourth fact.
There we go.
I wanted a Mini Cooper.
I'm just hoping in somewhere in like all the car paperwork, there's a list like in memorandum of, and then they just list all the people who was like crash tested for the maintenance and improved safety of this.
It's
new
just
Audi.
Like hanging on the rear view, just like a nice little like plaque.
Yeah.
I've been sitting on, my dad had Hep C, so I think there's a world where his dead body lived his jackass dream.
He went, whoa! And we're tying it all together. And there were shards of glass that went everywhere when the car
started. Boom, boom. Wow. I hope God, that.
When can
I hope
pop
that for him.
This in here?
You popped it in the right time. Once
Thank you
pop
so much.
You don't stop.
Yeah.
That's such a cool job. To zoom out a little bit.
Wait, it was a bit? Cool job.
Sorry. Steven's job, not okay. The body's job.
Okay, sure, okay. I was sure. Like, cool. Wow. Okay, Steven, that fact was truly as hot as... Oh, that sounded gross. I imagined...
Very sexual, but yes.
I was going to say, as hot as my dead body, like getting to wear a really cute outfit, crash testing a convertible, living. I imagine myself like in a Malibu dream car, kind of as Barbie. My dead body living out a dream of mine after I'm gone.
Oh, that's hot.
That's really hot.
But also terrifying.
Steven, that fact is as hot as my mom's car, which we were on a motorway and then it just made this screeching noise and was like, too hot, gotta stop. I was like, that's a fun piece of information, car.
But no more.
But no more.
So your mouth was very open.
Well, it's because I'm not. Okay. Steven, that fact was as hot as... the secret department in IKEA who also tests their own IKEA cars, and they're pretty good and there's a lot of storage in them, but the bodies they use are only rich celebrities. So they're all nice. Pretty hot.
I was nice. Thinking that there would be little bodies made out of meatballs stuck together with toothpicks.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's better.
I was thinking that the cadavers would be like testing like couches.
Yeah, just like slamming dead bodies into wardrobes.
The futon just folds on the body. Like, oh, glad we didn't use a real one for that.
This cadaver can't even put this bed together.
Fun fact.
Yeah, well, that would be infuriating.
It's
the angriest I will ever be is when putting together furniture.
Yes.
I'll be dating somebody. I'll be like, no, you can't come over today because I'm putting together furniture and I'm going to be angry at everybody else.
Yes.
Fun fact. If you look in the IKEA instruction book, those people putting together the furniture, all cadavers.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
I love a bonus fact.
Because they can't get angry and then they don't have to show that.
Mm-hmm. That fact was as hot as my cadaver on a bicycle, just sort of slamming into a brick wall and then just being reused and reused because you can't get that fast on the bicycle.
So fifth fun fact, both of you guys seem to think dead bodies are hot. Very cold. Very, very cold.
Chilly dead body.
Yeah. Chilly, but in an outfit.
But in a cute outfit.
In a little sweater.
Those dungarees I bought and never wore.
Just a little crop top on my dead bod.
I'll never be confident to wear a crop top when I'm alive, but when I'm dead, watch out.
Beautiful. Shem.
Ladybugs are cannibals.
Wow.
Ladybirds eat their babies. If they have enough food, they will just be known to like just go into the nest and just ingest like little larvae and things like that. That's my fact. Like ladybirds, the cute little animals, have cannibalistic tendencies.
Will they only eat things as small as themselves, or like would they chomp on a cow if they landed on one?
Interesting.
I feel like they mostly eat leaves and things like that, and like the cannibal nature of it means that they can eat something bigger than themselves if it was a bigger ladybug, but like generally they eat like ladybug shapes.
They have to be ladybugs to be cannibals.
Okay, that's a, okay. That makes sense.
A fair fact.
I like the idea of somebody that's like so superstitious that the ladybug is on their finger and they don't want to knock it off, but it's literally eating them. And they're like, no, I swear to God, this is good luck. Like this is good luck. So I'm going to just let this ladybug eat my fucking finger.
Do they have to be like Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Shem.
Oh, no. If I saw a ladybug eating its own baby, I would like gently like blow it like to try and like.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
save the child. Save. Is it only if they're like desperate for food or is it like a delicacy? I know you don't know this, but I want to think like, is it a delicacy? Are they like, I just had a baby. Now I get to eat it. Or it's like, I don't have any food. Now I have to eat my baby.
It's generally when they're like hungry rather than like on an anniversary or like a special like date night.
Mm-hmm. They had a hard day at work and they're like, oh, I'm just going to eat my child.
Yeah. Like, I think ladybugs have a weird relationship with delicacies in general. Like, I don't think that they,
They didn't see the treat yourself episode of Parks and Rec.
So. Right. They don't use garnishings.
How dare. If you're going to eat your child, at least garnish it.
True.
Scientists think it's because the larvae have soft shells so they can like chew on them easier than other things.
I mean, they want to mix up what they're having. I've had a lot of plum. Ooh, larvae.
Love that we're just like being like cannibalism. Cool.
Yeah.
You can eat your placenta.
For ladybugs, like who am I? Yeah. Who am I to judge a ladybug?
True. You can eat your placenta, but does that count as cannibalism?
Yeah.
If it's human.
Oh, no. But what if you get like...
like it's like human material. So what else could cannibalism be if not eating human?
I feel like if it's you're eating another human, then you're a cannibal. But if you're eating your placenta, you're just... recycling.
You're just quite a paltrow.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm going to defend eating Illuminati. Your own placenta right now. A lot of animals eat their own placenta. And it's very good for you.
Sure.
You can dehydrate it and put into a pill.
That's somehow worse.
Yeah, that is worse.
No, it helps. It helps with postpartum depression.
To eat your own placenta?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm hijacking this fact with placenta facts.
But I feel like, but then you're just depressed because you ate your placenta, right? You're just like, you're like, fuck, what is my world come to that I was so depressed that I ate my unborn baby?
I feel like, yeah, you're like okay with it. And then I feel like, you know, whatever, a year or two later, you realize I did eat that little placenta that came right out of me. And then I put it in my mouth.
I feel more so depressed now.
Own placenta is fine. Other person's placenta, is that cannibalism? Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is me drinking my mother's breast milk cannibalism?
Oh, a little, it's cannibal adjacent.
It's cannibal. Yeah.
Is drinking somebody else's mother's breast milk cannibalism?
Yes.
Yes. Hard. Hard.
Grapes of wrath. Cannibalism.
Okay.
And theft.
Yeah.
they actually have breast milk donation for people who aren't able to lactate. Oh, I think we talked about this on an episode.
Yes, we did. Full of flex. So if I go to a glory hole, not the glass kind, is that cannibalism?
So the eating of semen?
Is that cannibalism?
I think that's cannibalism by the millions, dog.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we have to just examine ourselves and it is.
Yeah, sometimes you need to look deep in the mirror and say, am I a cannibal?
Yeah. And the answer? Yes.
Sometimes yes. Especially if you're eating ladybug larvae.
There was a small period in my early 20s where,
Right. I had a cannibal phase.
So how hot was my fact with the additional calorie Rachel fact that was done?
Yeah, lots of fact economy for sure.
Oh my gosh.
I'm trying real hard to look up the root words of cannibal.
Cannibal.
Because
Edible.
Can't like, because in my head it's edible part of it. Oh. Then there's can, and I'm trying to figure if can means man or if it means eating your own.
Oh, from the Spanish cannibal, a savage, a cannibal. It's racist.
Right, as soon as I saw Christopher Columbus, I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't be using him as a reference.
It's just people from the Caribbean, basically.
Right, that's what I'm seeing, and I'm trying like not because I'm like, is that just saying just?
That's just him being like.
It's like mad racist. It's like a mad racist word as a.
So we should.
Ladybugs are racist.
Ladybugs are racist. Okay, that's the fact. That's the fact. That's the shit that we need to, everybody needs to be anti-ladybug.
Let's all post our on our Instagram stories today.
A black and red square.
With dots in it.
Everyone will get it so quickly.
Yeah, and just go to war with anybody that even suggests they like ladybugs.
Yeah.
It's like, you're either with us or against us, dog. When fucking neighbors are listening to me just yell about, like, you're either with me or against me, ladybug. They're like, yo, he's really lost it.
Sir, it is 11 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah, right. Stop it. You just hear on the walls, like, just blow him off your finger. Just blow him off your finger. Just let him be. Yo, I really think that cannibal is like a racist ass word. Degraded and bestial man from the name Shakespeare's character, The Tempest, which is from a version of cannibal with noun interchanged with. And then the other one's Christopher Columbus saying that was the name that they came up with for Caribbean people to mean savages.
So fucked up.
Oh.
Well, the alternative is man eater, which is problematic. So
say it again.
The alternative is man eater, which is problematic.
Right.
Not inclusive at all.
Not inclusive.
Yeah, not inclusive at all. It's like, yo, women can be cannibals too.
Yes.
For a brief period in their 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And then they're like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the term I should have used is anthropophagite, but like that is hard to say.
Yeah. What's that word?
Yeah.
Okay, fun.
Shum, your fact is as hot as the future movie is gonna be that combines ladybug tendencies with Armie Hammer's background. Put it together, it's animated. Put it together and kind of see where it goes. Mm-hmm. But it will be hot.
Like summer blockbuster hot?
Oh. The like Avengers summer hot.
Shut up. You wouldn't.
No.
Shut up.
Wow. Shem, that fact is as hot as a ladybug restaurant's number one delicacy called BYOB, bring your own baby, where they have to bring their own babies and then they cook them up and get them garnished because they won't garnish them themselves.
Wow.
Wow.
Hottest menu item.
I would say that's as hot as the oven's got to be for me to cook human meat. If I'm going to be a cannibal, I'm going to cook it. Yeah. Like I'm going to cook it and I'm going to cook it hot.
Whoa, that's a good point. Do we have any like sashimi human lovers? Like, I wonder in the cannibal world if that's like a thing. Yeah. Any of you... But I wonder.
Well, leave us a message if you.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
We're gonna get some weird comic books.
Yeah, drop your hottest human recipe.
Mm-mm. Shem, that fact is as hot as this beautiful summer's day. It was like, well, I only know it in Celsius, but like 30 something degrees. Apologies.
That's chilly.
I looked down and there was this little ladybug on my arm, and it shat 3 times. And now I'm had it just eaten its baby and then it shat it all over my arm. So that's how that memory's now going to be.
Or was it giving birth?
Oh, maybe. And I just wiped it off my arm and was like, ew.
Okay, it was just going to fucking eat it anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, you saved it from being eaten.
It just gives birth and then goes back and eats them all over my arm.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, on that note, I will bring us to the last fact of the day, which is in the 1902 stage version of The Wizard of Oz, instead of Toto, they had a cow called Imogen because they thought the children watching the production would find the cow more interesting and entertaining than a dog called Toto.
Poor Toto got cut. Yeah.
Toto got cut.
Wait, this actually happened or this was going to happen?
No, this happened on a stage version of the production in 1902. They swapped out Toto and put in a cow.
Wait, so then did Dorothy just like travel with a cow in a hot air balloon?
I assume the cow did not, didn't go in the picnic basket though. Like that would have been a giant basket.
There's so many scenes that a cow makes this a more difficult movie.
Right?
Like, yeah. Just think about like the logistics of the travel in general. Like how like we're off to see the, oh, the cow's still with us. Like,
the cow's eating the scarecrow. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. The cow's doing the little heel clicks down the yellow brick road. Yeah. Oh.
Sorry, just getting its hoof stuck in between yellow bricks, and it's just like we need to get the fucking cow safe
again.
Come on,
Imogen.
Yeah, Imogen. That's not even a good name.
It seems like the most elaborate Chick-fil-A ad in the world.
The Imogen's just like eat more chicken, baby.
Eat more chicken. Yeah.
What would that have done with our relationship with beef? Like as a human, like, cause like, I've always thought about the shit that like, we as like a society need like animals to be personified for us not to eat them. Like rabbit used to be like huge and then Bugs Bunny came and just like freed all the rabbits because now we're like, oh, like what's up doc? Like, we're not going to eat you. Right. Like we don't eat squirrels. And I think that that's because of Alvin and the Chipmunks. Mm-hmm. We used to, right. Everybody's played the Oregon Trail. We know we used to eat squirrels. I wonder what that would have done with our relationship with beef if a cow would have been the main. What if we ate dog instead? There's so much that could have happened.
So much.
I know. And cows are quite cute and cuddly too. Like they could have very well been replaced as, I guess though, like farmers and homesteaders like loved their cows and then would also be like, yum.
Yes.
I don't know though.
Very, very ladybug vibes.
Yes. Spooky.
I can't think of an iconic cow. That's like on the Bugs Bunny level. And I think that is Big Beef that is behind that.
I remember they were iconic cows in the UK, but they were used in an advert to drink milk and they were like, they would do this little dance. And as a child, I loved these cows. It didn't make me want to drink milk, but I was very into the dancing cows.
The laughing cow?
No.
Oh, laughing cow is.
But that is an iconic cow.
Cheese product. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was, this was before my time as a human, but in the, near the town I was born, there was this big like barn fire. And it turns out that it was started by a cow. And my mother, who is not like, she's not like a like spiritual or religious person, but she, I remember as a kid, she was like, I like, in terms of like past life, she was like, I do believe I was the cow that started that fire. I was like, Mom, what?
Well, that's like a,
wait.
That's like the major theory for the Chicago fire, that a cow kicked over a lantern. There was like a huge fire in Chicago. And that's like the main theory is that some cow kicked over a lantern.
I also just learned that, you know, how there's always a presidential pet. William Taft had a cow, a purebred Holstein named Pauline Wayne.
The Holstein is a type of cow?
I think so.
So my master's is in social enterprise, but like focused on like food systems and like stuff like that. And so like a lot of, one of the things I find very interesting is the marketing of specific foods. Like milk was not really consumed all that much until like World War II. Like it was consumed, but just like, it wasn't not at the level.
Yeah.
And similar things with beef and corn, where we were sending it out to World War II soldiers rather. And so we were putting a bunch of money into the overproduction of these products. And then when World War II ended, we had huge surpluses of the products. So huge marketing campaigns came to push beef and milk and corn. And so that is like the main reason why we have so much beef and milk and corn in our diets today is because World War II overproduction, that then we propped up an industry that we then needed to continue to support. So like, that's why you would just see all these huge marketing campaigns to eat more beef. Because like, if you think about historically, we're not genetically predisposed to eat that much meat, right? Like usually you were eating meat like maybe twice a week because, you know, you had to go down to the butcher who had, you know, only X amount of meat. But now we had such an overproduction of it that we were just trying to figure out how to jam it into fucking everything. That's why corns and everything. That's why beef is so prominent. And that's why milk is so prominent.
Wow.
Everyone so is bad. I can just imagine everyone in Iowa just ripping out their headphones. Oh, fuck.
I am short-lived.
They're back. Yes. Guys, just so you know, we were killing it. We were killing really it while y'all were gone.
We got like 10 new facts out.
Yeah.
It was just like right. Boom, 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 boom.
10 more.
Honestly, I don't know if you'll be able to understand it because we were saying the facts so fast.
So quick. Wow. Which also, there's another fact. There's 11 for you. Yeah.
Just have the editing guy slow it down a little bit.
Shem, you were about to set us up. You said, imagine.
Yeah, imagine that. And then
and Zoom went, no.
And
no.
Our brains were on hyperdrive, just imagining shit.
It was just a general note. Just
that's why all the facts came out so fast.
So what's spooky is I was about to say, I can just imagine everyone in Iowa listening to Stephen's facts and ripping out their headphones and like being angry. And instead they ripped out my Zoom connection.
It was Big Beef. Big Beef was like, you've talked too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
Big Beef is in every Zoom.
Was there anything like after studying that? Was there anything that you were like mad about that you were like, I'm not eating that. You're not getting in my head. I'm done with that.
I go through stints where I'll go very like veggie based, but like I try very hard to do locally sourced when money allows for it. Right. Yeah. But because that's how we did farm, right? Like if you look at like houses, like an aerial view of houses and cities around World War II, like everybody had, they called them like freedom farms or freedom gardens, where everybody grew shit and everybody just like bartered their food. And it was just the way that everybody did everything. But then we just moved more and more towards a centralized thing. So I think at that point in time, I'm pulling the numbers out of my ass a little, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 40-ish% worked in farming in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Where when I was doing the research would have been 2012-ish, 2011-ish. At that point in time, it was under 2% are involved in farming. And so most of it's been consolidated. And so 70% of all subsidies go to corn and soy because that has become the biggest feed product for pigs and cows and stuff like that. But then also it's pumped into every fucking food that we eat. Anytime you see hydrogenated fats or corn fructose syrup, that's all corn and soy just jammed into shit. We could do 10 podcasts just on that sort of shit, but it's, if you're interested in it, watch a documentary called King Corn. And that's kind of gives the root of the corn issue, which then trickles down into all the beef and pork issues.
What's so funny is that when we logged in, Stephen was like, I was supposed to bring a fact. And then it's just like, produced like 20.
I love it. That's what this podcast is for.
Facts on facts.
Facts on facts. Talking to which, how hot was my fact?
Lynn's, that fact is as hot as the man at Monsanto is right now getting so angry saying, you're saying mean stuff about soy. Cease and desist.
I like in your version, the CEO of Monsanto types with two fingers.
100%.
Like that is an executive of one of the biggest companies in the world and he cannot type.
He can't type. His other fingers are reserved for soy.
Yeah, hey, he's just got soybeans on these things.
Lynn's, because your fact is as hot as, you know, that thing, salad fingers, it's that, but it's again, little sausage soy fingers instead, just as creepy and gross.
What are salad fingers?
Just look it up. I don't even know.
Yeah, you need to know what salad fingers is.
Wait, now I'm looking up salad fingers.
Well, salad fingers is racist.
If I find out salad fingers, I can't take this much racism this early in the morning.
No.
Oh, what the fuck? Salad fingers is going to give me, that's like a Slender Man vibe.
Yeah. Imagine watching this high in your college dorm, baby. Because that's what my friend put me through.
Yeah. Imagine if you will.
And then big salad fingers pulls my audio.
That's as hot as Hamburger Helper. Did y'all eat Hamburger Helper when you were, did we grow up with a little bit of that much money?
Yeah.
Hamburger Helper is just, it's just noodles and ground beef and that, but it's so delicious. And it's one of those foods that you eat and you're like, I know this is going to burn the roof of my mouth if I eat it right now. And that's when I'm eating it. And that's not going to change shit. So it, as hot as my Hamburger Helper roof of mouth. That's how hot.
Wow.
Sizzling.
That fact was as hot as the Wiz.
As the what?
As the Wiz.
As the Wiz, that's hot.
The Wiz, the play?
Yeah, the play and also the Broadway cast recording and also the movie musical.
Movie. Oh, all three together.
All three combined.
One chamber.
Yeah.
A Wiz trifecta.
Wizfecta?
Wizfecta.
Wizfecta.
I love it.
The Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa of it all.
On that note, Stephen, it's time for you to pick what you think the hottest fact of the podcast is. Reminder, you can pick your own fact, which was damn hot. We will go
down. What we got? We got ladybug last cannibalism. Rain.
Yes.
Bodies getting crashed into walls.
Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Hello.
The bong planet.
Yes, glass rain.
Jackass.
Jackass. Jackass was gonna be on SNL.
And Toto was a cow called Imogen. Just once.
Oh, true. Toto was a cow. In terms of actual heat, I'm gonna have to go with a planet that is also a glass kern. Do you kern? What is the word?
Kiln.
Kiln. Yes, I'm going to have to go with Planet Kiln.
Yeah.
Planet
Kiln. Which is a way better name for a planet than
HD 1897 something.
Scientists are fucking lame.
They're lame.
You work your whole life to find a planet and that's the fucking name that you come up. Be original, dog. Like, you never thought of that in the shower. Like, you didn't think of any names the whole time you're trying to look for this planet.
I'm going
to
stop clapping for you if you don't pull your shit together.
Yeah. I'm going to come in there and name your planet for you, bitch.
Take that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Stephen. Because I've been listening to nonprofits, so our listeners should come find you. Where can they find you on social media and other places?
Yeah, we got a podcast, Nonprofits, Nonprophets. We talk about different social issues, then bring on an individual helping to alleviate that social issue. Everybody from Black Lives Matter of New York to the Sierra Club to all sorts of small local organizations that are helping. So if you want to learn some shit and make it so that it's not depressing as fuck, give it a listen. All the podcast platforms on Instagram, Stephen Campbell Comedy, STEPHEN, Stephen. You can hit me there.
Amazing. Thank you. And I will say, go listen. It was so great to just hear tips and be like, oh, I can do this and I'm doing this and that feels good and make it easy.
I appreciate hearing that. Yeah. We kind of always found that everything that has to do with social issues just ends with a period. We're fucked. And so really trying to create a space where people can listen to some shit and be like, oh, word, like I can go help in this way. I can go emulate this. I can go support this.
And so, it feels so accessible because it doesn't feel like that period. And I feel like, you know, new people are like, I want to help. And then you start reading your stuff and you're like, what good will the help do? And it's like, well,
I know. Yo, I appreciate you saying that because that is what we're trying to go for. And that is the show that we're pitching to the network. So fingers crossed on all that shit.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. Thank you so much for coming on today. We are Trash Comedy. We're Trash Comedy on Instagram, on Twitter with the letter R instead of A-R-E. We are part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Stephen. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.